Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 241st episode of Dave's Gone By. Whoop. Hold on, I didn't get your mic up yet. What did you say, Jeff?
It's a 2-for-1 episode.
Now, how is it our 2-for-1 episode, Jeff?
241st, 2-for-1.
Jeff, you're such a numbers... This one I get. You were making like a numbers joke in our pre-show, and I was like completely sort of lost about why 11 was such an important number. But this one I get. That was cool. So it is our 2-for-1 show called Columbus Days, because
you were a little busy with other things and didn't want to be creative today.
Yeah, I was going to leave the show kind of open, see what happened, let it flow in a very improv-y sort of way. And whenever I do that, things magically, and I hope they always do,
like Charlie Gross's birthday showed up.
Well, actually, that was in the pre-show. So happy birthday to our good friend Charlie Gross. He turned 44. Just a couple of days ago, on October 5th, I guess it was,
yes,
on Friday.
Yes, it's Friday, the 5th.
So, happy to him. But I wasn't even counting that. All the things we got to do on this episode of Dave's Gone By. 44 on the 5th. Okay, that's the number thing. Any other things to add to that, the birthday?
I think we're done with
the birthday at this
point.
It's
a 2-for-1 special.
There you go.
I like that.
Well, it's a special show. You know why? A, because you're on it, and you're Jeff Goodman.
And every highway is a sunrise.
Well, that's me. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, your sunrise highway of entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, every Sunday night at 11 on AM 1240 WGBB.
I'm more like a Newbridge Road.
What's that? Is that another? I have no idea.
Another street. I guess it's not a big...
Now, dig all the things we're going to be doing on this episode of Dave's Gone By. First of all...
We're going to talk to a sports guy.
You're so thrilled. You could barely contain...
Not only is he sports, he's hockey.
He's hockey, I know. And that's why I wanted to have him on. A, because he's on the station, and he's got the show about an hour before we do. And second of all, I'm a baseball fan, and I'm the Mets just bleh. And I'm a Jet fan, so I don't get to watch the Jets on Sundays
because
I'm over here.
The Philadelphia Phillies just bleh, too.
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't even have time to talk about this, but how do you feel about this? I'm going to be very quick, but there's one mindset that says you want the team that beats you to be the best team, because then you could say, oh, well, we were beaten, but the guys who beat us went into the World Series and won and took it all. So, obviously, we were good, but they were.
No, at this
best.
Point, I just wanted to say, well, our division just kind of sucked anyway.
Oh, so that's what you...
Who cares if we're... Number one in the worst.
The other side of it says we want revenge. We want the team that beat us to get smashed.
And wasn't it interesting that the Yankees are the only team who have made it into a longer than 3-game series?
Wow.
The other three are all decided.
Well, the Yankees came close to being...
Yeah, the Cubs got kiboshed, and the Phillies got kiboshed,
yeah.
And
the Yankees almost did. They were down 3-0 earlier in the day, but they came back with a lot of power. And won, I think, 8-4 or 8-5. So they've extended their season.
I'm praying along with Joe Torre's sister, the nun, that
yeah, right.
That he doesn't get kiboshed.
I'll bet you Drew Steinbrenner is so senile he'll hire the nun next year. He fires Joe.
I don't want Joe Torre to be fired. He's a nice guy.
Well, if they lost
today, I'd like a little bitty portion of his paycheck.
Well, yeah. No, but if the Yankees had lost today, it really would have been time for Joe to go.
Really?
He hasn't brought home the ring in a few years.
Hit the road, Joe. Don't
and he's good, and his team is good, but it would have just been, like, time to rebuild.
And you're the one who's thinking about Willie Randolph not getting fired?
I'm saying Willie, I probably would have fired him, but I'm saying he might not have, and he's not going to be. They're bringing Willie Randolph back
they
to the So they said, I mean, they were sort of non-committal,
Mine,
but I
they
think
do
he's,
all these things while I'm in Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, you would figure... That collapse of the team is on the bullpen and on his shoulders. It wasn't on the hitters.
His fault.
It was, where was the motivation? Early. Who was he choosing to pitch and when and why? And when you have the last game of the season, it means everything. I don't care what you have to do to win. You just do. You pull out all stops.
I think David should be. You should be the new manager of the Mets.
I don't have the creds. I wouldn't be able to.
David doesn't have the time.
I'd be their mascot.
I think you should manage the Mets for like a week. See how you do.
Oh, fantasy Mets. Like Triple A or Triple Z Mets.
Tell Willie Randolph, you're hosting a horrible radio show, and I'm going to be, and David's going to.
That's very funny, a horrible radio show. Thank you so much. And it all started when Willie Randolph, I'll bet that the downfall
came. Willie Randolph's gone by.
You know what happened? When my wife graduated from Fordham University, she got her doctorate at the end of last
year. You're married to a doctor?
You bet I am, a sociology kind of doctor. She's teaching now in Temple University, very smart and rather beautiful lady.
Is she in Temple
now? She'll be there in a day or two. She goes back and forth to Philadelphia every week.
You have a weekend wife?
Pretty much. It's kind of nice. But anyway, and I'll be sleeping in the garage tonight. But, you know, the one thing is, who was the guest speaker at her graduation of all of Fordham University?
It was Willie Randolph.
Willie Randolph. Willie Randolph, not the best spoken man in the world. Told a few baseball. I mean, this man has no business getting, like, all right, he's a good baseball player, manager, but
baseball been very, very good to me.
Yeah, and meanwhile, from then on, they had the June swoon, and then they picked themselves back up again, and they failed again, and they failed so bad. They should take his degree away. They should just put a butane lighter to it and burn it and say, you have to earn it again.
What did he get a degree in? Miscellaneous?
Honorary. Right. Well, you know, probably arts and sciences, some crappy honorary something.
Well, Willie, you're fired.
Yeah, right. In Mets' hearts, you really crushed them. One game away like that.
You kind of made us cry.
Anywho. Oh. All right, let's honor some people who do deserve to be honored. Our sponsors.
Oh, would that be the great MortgagesRock.com?
Yes, the wonderful MortgagesRock.com. Why do they rock?
Because you can get a mortgage for yourself, and you can sell mortgages to other people.
That's right.
You can help your friends. Interest rates are coming down. It's a wonderful party at MortgagesRock.com.
Yeah. Just because, you know, you've heard all this stuff about how the real estate market is a problem and these subprime loans, that's not what this is about. This is about people still need loans. People still have to move. They still have to send their kids to college. People need money, and they're in a position where they can borrow it. You can help them, and by doing so, you can earn commission. Learn how at MortgagesRock.com.
So if you don't have a job, log on to MortgagesRock.com. You've got a job.
Now, where else should they go to?
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
In Hewlett, Long Island, yes.
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman Press. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. 1315 Broadway. Right next to?
Roman Shows.
And across the street from?
The Old Lomans.
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
And
where else?
You just tell them Jeff said 20%.
They'll still give him 10, but they can tell you that you said 20.
Jeff says 25.
Will you match it? Will you pay the extra 15%?
No.
So don't do that. But go
10%
off.
Jeff told them, ask for 25. Because my mother always told me, Jeff, it never hurts to ask.
Okay.
They can always say no.
They will say no, but they'll say 10. If you mention Dave's Gone By.
Unless you have a really big bulk order, then they might give you 25. What is over $15,000, maybe?
Yeah, actually, maybe. I sure would. That'd be nice. Anyway, also, let's not forget...
Is there the Bible of Broadway?
Performing Arts Insider.
Which is on sale to all listeners, too.
Very, very good sale.
It's about 63% off, right?
No. It's about... That one is about 25 to 30% off. The normal price for a year subscription to Performing Arts Insider is $280 for 21 issues.
And I think it should be $199.
You know what? That's exactly what it is if you subscribe this month.
Ding, ding, ding. That's why I was a contestant on The Price is
Right. The Price is Right for you for Performing Arts Insider. Go to performingartsinsider.com to find out how you can find everything you need to know about Broadway and beyond in the pages.
It's Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, anything you want to know. You want press agents' numbers?
Yep.
You want numbers of producers? You get phone numbers right in there.
It's true. It's absolutely true. $199, it's actually...
You can
a lot of people find that cheap.
All the
pay.
Theatrical professionals you care to make phony phone calls to.
You can do that, too. I wouldn't recommend it, but yes, that but also for professionals in the field, it's a real Bible. It's
and,
a must.
And for all you kids who want to break into the business and don't have the $199,
yeah,
Daddy, I need some money.
Yeah, there you go. Or you can also
they will accept your parents' credit cards.
You can also write to the performing arts, and you get a single issue. It's usually $14, or you can get them at the Drama Bookshop in Manhattan for $14. So that's why you're saving a lot of money at $199 a year. And we got one more sponsor. You're it. You're up.
Oh, it's that fancy schmancy balloon place.
That's right. Fancy schmancy balloons for all your party decorating needs, including
balloons
and
centerpieces.
And you can also hook people up if they need flowers and
things. Oh, yeah, I can organize everything. But no one calls from this radio show. What's wrong with it?
That's right, people. Come on. I know this is not time for...
I opened 50% off 2 weeks ago. No one even called.
Can you do a Halloween party?
I could do a Halloween party.
Call Jeff.
We could do a bo mitzvah for you.
I like that. A bo mitzvah. That's marvelous. Or if you have a regular bar or bat mitzvah, a christening or wedding,
whatever.
Or any kind of big
and
party.
We have helium.
Yeah, helium's at a premium for some reason. Newsday did that big story that people are like dying for helium. Jeff's got it.
Because my supplier likes me, because I've been with my supplier for over a decade.
So take advantage of Jeff's supply of helium by calling Fancy Schmancy Balloons at
516-797-3229.
Once again.
516-797-3229. We can blow up your party.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're blowing up the clock here on Dave's Gone By. So let's get to, as I said, so much to do. We've got Inside Broadway. We're going to be talking about the review Forbidden Broadway, which is now in its 25th year. We're going to hear from Rabbi Saul Solomon, who's
what
the
are we hearing
TV
now?
Star. And in just a moment or two, we'll be talking to Rob Kowal, who is the host of New York Hockey Talk on WGBB Sundays at 9. There is our guest. Be nice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good heavens, Jeff.
Well, I do enjoy a little game of knock hockey every now and again.
What's knock hockey?
Don't you remember knock hockey? The little game that's on the... It's a tray. One, a hockey. Two, a hockey. Three, a hockey. And then you try and get it through the slot in the end. There's a little,
are you thinking of air like, hockey? No.
No, knock hockey. This is like from the 60s.
Okay.
And the 70s. It was a boy. If you don't know, I can't.
I don't. Maybe I knew it. I don't remember.
Well, can someone
hockey.
Please call in to explain to
Dave? Yeah, while we're talking to Rob Kowal, maybe we can someone can explain or send me an email at davesgoneby@aol.com and explain the intricacies of knock hockey.
I can't believe you haven't played knock hockey.
I play knocker hockey, but it's a little different. Anyway, we got to do some commercials, and we'll be talking to Rob Kowal right after this.
Minute Man, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minute Man, no job too big or small. Minute Man, family run since 1975. Minute Man, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman's shoe store. Tell them they've sent you for 10% off. Minuteman, hero of our photocopying dreams.
You rock! Yeah, yeah, you rock! You know what else rocks? Mortgages rock! Yeah, because MortgagesRock.com gives you the chance to help your friends get the loans they need. College loans, home improvement, new trailer, MortgagesRock.com helps you help them. And the more work you do, the more commission you get. Full service, fully licensed, MortgagesRock.com has real experts on the phone, at the website, in the office, making you a bigger, better broker. MortgagesRock.com, we're making money never sounded so good. Rock on, mortgages!
Everybody, we're going to have a very cool thing. I've got Jeff Goodman with me, and on the other mic here in the studio at WGBB is someone who hosts a radio program right before mine at 9 o'clock on Sunday nights from 9 to 10 on this station.
How lucky for him.
How lucky for him, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Rob Kowal, and he hosts a show called New York Hockey Talk. And I want to find out a little bit about it because my brain has been out of hockey for a few years. I'm a big baseball fan, and I'm kind of a football fan, although watching the Jets this year is hard to be. But hockey, not really. I mean, the big year when the Islanders won everything, okay, I guess we were all Islander fans, and my dad kind of watches them, but not so into it. So I've got a hockey expert here. I figure I might as well pick his brain and make the most of it. So please welcome everyone, Rob Kowal, to the neighborhood. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
All right, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for taking a few minutes out to just tell us something about your show, but also about what's going on in hockey in general, because I've been so out of the loop. So first of all, how did your show come about?
Well, as you know, myself and Steve Ucali did a show on sports in January and February earlier this year, and it kind of evolved, and after we finished that show, I decided to focus in one area, and what better area than hockey, Dave?
Well, why? Is hockey a big thing for you?
Well, hockey's a huge thing for me, but hockey just doesn't get enough attention. You said it yourself, you know, especially with baseball. The Yankees had a big game tonight. The Mets had a big run, so everyone's talking baseball on the radio, but there is a lot of hardcore fans out there that love the game of hockey that are just excited about hockey, as you are about baseball, but they don't have the outlet to talk about or hear about their sport. Baseball's all over the radio, so I thought hockey would be a good place to go and talk each week about all the New York teams, and you mentioned them a little bit earlier.
Well, which is your team? Which is the team that you really...
Well, I grew up a Rangers fan for some reason. I grew up on Long Island, and of course, I was a kid in the early 80s when the Islanders were winning all the cups. So playing street hockey in the street, all my friends were Islander fans.
Okay,
and unfortunately for me, I was a Ranger fan, but I don't quite know how that happened, but I'm a big Ranger fan, and I still am today. But even more than the Rangers, I'm just a fan of the game. It's a great game. It's a great sport. I'll watch just about any hockey game that comes on the radio. It's an exciting, fast-moving game. I enjoy talking about it. We have a couple of good guests coming on this evening. So it's a great sport that doesn't get enough attention.
Well, okay, what... Do you like, is it the fights, or do you just like the skating, or do you like the...
Well, that's the thing. It's not just the fighting. It's just the combination of all the different elements. You know, baseball, it's very difficult to hit a ball, okay? That's the big challenge. And hockey, you're doing several things at once. You not only have to have the eye-hand coordination and the reflexes to play the game, you also have to be a great skater.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different elements. You have to be tough. There are big guys running you over out there. You have to be strong. So there are a lot of different elements to the game of hockey that kind of all come into one sport. And for those that love the game, they can really appreciate the players that play it at such a high level, particularly at the National Hockey League level.
So who's the best player around now?
Well, right now some of the young guys on Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby comes to mind. I think he's 20 years old. Maybe he turned 21 this year. Alex Ovechkin for the Washington Capitals is another guy that's young. And these two guys in particular come to mind that are going to be the face of the National Hockey League for the next 10 years. They're great talents. They're strong. They have a lot of skill. They're exciting to watch. So I would say those two guys right now are probably some of the more up-and-coming superstars in the league.
And as far as the local teams, since you know we're kind of a New York-based show,
sure.
What do you predict for the Islanders and the Rangers? And well, they're in New Jersey, but if you must mention the Devils.
Well, I mean, the Islanders have a lot of new faces. They lost a lot of guys in free agency in the offseason. So the best case scenario probably for the Islanders is if they make the playoffs. They could be in the basement of the conference this season. It's just a big unknown. They have a lot of new guys. They're off to a great start. They've won their first two games against Buffalo. A lot of the new guys have done well. So that's encouraging for Islander fans. And hopefully the Islanders will be able to fight for a playoff spot going into the end of the year. The Devils, they lost a couple of guys, Brian Rafalski. They have a lot of good young players. They have one of the best goalies in the league in Martin Brodeur. They always seem to find a way. Every time you think they're going to take a step back, they always seem to find a way to be competitive. They're always a great playoff team because of their defense and goaltending. So I would expect the same from the Devils. And the Rangers right now, this season, with the two guys that they picked up, the two big free agent signings in Chris Drury and Scotty Gomez, most of the major publications are picking the Rangers to do extremely well this year. Not only maybe make the Stanley Cup, but they certainly have an excellent chance of going all the way this year. So Ranger fans are particularly excited about the season coming up this year.
Very cool. Jeff, I know you're something of a sports fan. Are you at all a hockey fan? Are you into that?
What?
That's a snore from Jeff about hockey. Oh, my goodness.
You're not a hockey fan, Jeff?
No, not at all.
Oh dear.
But I was around where the, when the Islanders got all those rings.
Well, yeah.
Were you a fan back then?
No.
No.
Well, we'll just turn Jeff's microphone down for a little while. No, but well, no, if you were to try and convince
thanks
someone,
thanks for being a guest. Bye.
But if you were,
Jeff, have you ever gone? When's the last time you went, if ever, to a hockey game?
Never.
Well, that's part of the problem right there. A lot of people say watching it on TV is what kind of turns them off to it. Although with the coming
of turned off to just the violence of the game.
Really?
Well, but that's one element of the game. If you go to a hockey game, what I was going to say is with the advent of HDTV, it's a little bit easier to watch. But if you go to a game, if you go to Madison Square Garden for a Rangers Islanders game, you can feel the electricity and the excitement in the air. I guarantee you'll enjoy it if you go, especially if you've never gone to a game.
But
you have
Dave
to
knows I have a pretty darn good TV.
That's true. He's got one of these big old. He won a TV on not Wheel of Fortune, the Price is Right.
Right.
And it's this giant, like, 70-something
right.
inch massive monster. He actually had to knock out walls on both sides of his house so it fits.
But I'm saying, to feel the excitement, if you're not a fan, I would say go to Madison Square Garden for a Ranger Islander game. Go to a game and experience it, and you might surprise yourself. You might become a fan.
Really?
No, it's worth a
and
shot.
You've never been to, I mean, you've never
have
been
you ever
to a
gone
game.
To a hockey game, David?
Well, yeah. Actually, I have to say, I have to admit, I did go to a, I think it was an Islander game. Maybe it was a Ranger game, because it would have been easy to get to Madison Square Garden. And I fell asleep in the second period.
Oh, dang,
I really
dang.
Did. I can't believe that. This is
how long
many
ago
years
was this?
Ago. This is, that was probably my 20s.
You were probably drinking back then.
I saw the ice capades.
Me? No, ice capades. Ice capades with blood. That's basically. But I wanted to go. And I would have rooted for the home team.
Hmm? I mean, what kind of game is it where they can put some guy's head in your armpit and then bash the crap out of him?
No.
You don't like boxing either?
I hate boxing.
Oh, okay.
You really got to appreciate the finer points of the game. It's not just all dropping the gloves. You know, that's kind of one of the sad things about the sport is that that's the only press it seems to get. Is it makes the news when there's a big fight or someone swings a stick at someone. People that don't follow the sport see that in the news. Well, really, that's a really small percentage. That only happens a small percentage of the time in the game.
All the hockey players have no teeth.
Well, it is. It's a physical game. You got to be tough to play the sport, but it's not. They're just bashing their head. Heads against
the football players have teeth.
They're probably on their fifth in the off season. They get new caps.
Let me tell you, football players get beat up pretty much too. It's a different kind of a sport, but it's such a fast moving game. It's nonstop action. There's no waiting in between pitches, or it's just constant action. Hockey players are some of the best athletes in the world. You have to be in tremendous shape.
I have to tell you that in all fairness, I must say I don't enjoy basketball either.
So yeah, well, basketball can get kind
of
boring
like
until the last quarter.
Player.
Yeah, no, he's a baseball and football fan. But and
yes.
I will give you this also about the television thing, because I was not into soccer in any way, shape, or form, even during the Pele years. And then we were in Canada about a year and a half ago, and we had this nice hotel room, this big TV, and the World Cup was on. And it was World Cup madness everywhere you went.
Right, I remember that.
And so I was like, all right, let me tune in. And seeing it on a big screen and kind of away from America and New York, I got caught up in it. I was like, whoa, this is a pretty cool game.
And now that's a lot slower. I mean, the field is so large.
Yeah.
With the National Hockey League, the rink is a lot smaller. The players are moving a lot faster. It's a lot more end-to-end action in hockey. And here you enjoyed soccer, which is, you know, exciting in its own way. But really, nothing compares to a National Hockey League game. Now, you guys really got to go to a game.
Who's your favorite player of all time?
My favorite player of all time? I don't know if I had to pick one. I was
well,
a big
Canadians, right?
The Montreal Canadiens?
Well, that's
no,
a team.
No, they're all Canadians. So
well, they used to, you know, 10, 15 years ago, 60% of the league was Canadian. But now, a lot of these players now are European. So I don't know what the percentage is now, but I know the percentage of Canadian players in the National Hockey League is less than it was, say, 15 years ago, because there's been such an influx of European players. But I mean, getting back to the question, who's my favorite player? There's a lot of guys I root for. I don't know if there's one in particular that I would call my favorite. Although I was a big fan of Adam Graves, because he's just such a good guy on and off the ice. He's an easy guy to root for.
I can't say I've ever. Who did he play for?
Adam Graves. He played for the New York Rangers. He was on the team when they won the Stanley Cup in 1994.
Okay.
How about those USA Olympians? So
oh, that whole that famous thing. Well,
the,
with,
you're
like
talking
Ruggieri
about the 1980 team? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going back quite a way now. I mean, I was, what,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
nine
I was still
years old.
Yeah, I was still around for that.
I mean, I vaguely, I was 9 years old when that happened. But, I mean, that, of course, was, hockey was in the center and forefront during that run. Because at that time, if you want to go back to 1980, the American team was a bunch of amateurs playing against a Russian team that was all professionals. These guys were older, bigger,
yeah,
stronger. And that's what made it so exciting. And people don't realize that the game that you always see replayed when they beat the Russians, that's not the gold medal winning game. They had to still come back and play in the finals the next day and win the gold medal. People don't realize that all the time.
Right. They eliminated the Russians.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
the Russians were silver medalists.
And
actually, no. They
I mean bronze medalists.
Yeah, that's right.
We are talking with Rob Kowal. He is the host of New York Hockey Talk at 9 p.m. on Sunday. So if you miss him this evening, then you know, make sure you catch him before my show, Dave's Gone By, every Sunday night. I'm on at 11. Jeff and I go on at 10:30, and then there's a show at 10 o'clock. But from 9 to 10, sorry to make this complicated, folks, you can hear Rob Kowal, New York Hockey Talk. And so who are some of the upcoming guests, not this week, but in weeks ahead that you're hoping to have on?
Well, in the weeks ahead, it's week to week right now. There are some guys that I have talked to that I'm in touch with that I'm hoping to get on. Ken Janander is one I'm hoping to get on next
Rod
week.
Rod Gilbert.
Rod Gilbert. You know, anything's possible. Like I said, I do everything for this show myself, from running the website to booking the guests to interviewing the guests. So it's a lot of stuff to do, not to mention the fact that I have a full-time job during the day.
Well, you call Rod and you tell him Jeff said be on the show.
Yeah, that'll get me anyone I want on.
I just mentioned
your name.
Yeah, and they get a free balloon.
Well, hey, you know, tonight we'll have Pierre Turgeon. Do you know who Pierre Turgeon is? He's going to be on the show tonight. He played for the Islanders back during their run in 93 to the conference finals. Islander fans certainly remember who he is.
And then do you archive your shows? I mean, after their...
Yeah, actually, if you go to nyhockeytalk.com, all past broadcasts of the show are available to be played from the website and downloaded. And not only that, I break up the shows individually in interviews, too. So, for instance, if you're only interested in hearing an interview about someone that has to do with the Devils, let's say, you can go to that section of the website and listen to segments of past shows that are relevant to the Devils and so forth. So, yeah, all past shows are available on the website, nyhockeytalk.com.
nyhockeytalk.com. And we are talking hockey with Rob Kowal. I want to thank you, Rob, for being part of this program. I want to wish you best of luck with your show.
What is the name of this program, Dave?
Well, Dave's Gone By. What else? So, you know, I'll call everything Dave's Gone By. So, thanks so much.
Okay, Dave, thanks for having me.
And thanks also, Jeff, for hanging out with us.
I've
got
to get to the rink and see a hockey game for me. I'll come on in a couple of weeks. You'll go to a game.
Give us
tell
a free
me
ticket. We'll go.
go to the Nassau Coliseum. We'll get some tickets there.
Yeah, sure. I'll just beg outside with a begging bowl and a cup and some pencils.
A begging bowl?
Well, I don't know.
You have a begging bowl?
I'll be like a monk. I'll be a monk who doesn't need food because I'm pretty good with food. But I'll go around in sackcloth and pray. I'll pray for anybody who gives me a hockey ticket.
A staff brought you'll be a Jewish monk.
A schmunk. There you go.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rob. What are the gifts that keep on giving? Education, culture, herpes. What about a Dave's Gone By CD? For just $11, you can surprise and delight that special someone with a digitally recorded hour of comedy, music, and magic. Nearly every episode we've ever done is on sale, so visit davesgoneby.org to choose the show you want. Save money with multiple orders, add a dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By on CD, my gift to the world. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Dave, although I love Inside Broadway, I want my residuals from these old episodes.
Oh, I mean, we'll talk. You're actually all getting residuals. You weren't on the old episodes. You just would be entitled.
I'm on the good ones.
There you go. You're on the livelier ones, the zanier ones. We're Inside Broadway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Performing Arts Insider.
It's a great place to be.
So the first part of it, as we always do, is news. There's not a lot of big Broadway news this week. And then we'll get right into the review. Three things that we have for you. First of all, do you know who the next man in the chair is going to be?
Oh, I read this, and it's very good, but I forgot who it's going to be.
Now, Man in the Chair is, of course, the lead narrating character in The Drowsy Chaperone.
Very
Tony
excited
Wayne
about
musical.
This.
It's a very fun musical.
Because John Glines, not John Glines.
John Glines.
Oh, my God.
He's still alive, by the way. He's still very important. In
John Glines is in Thailand a lot, as a matter of fact. I've run into him.
You recognize him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Was he looking...
He looks fine.
No, I was going to ask what he was looking for, but I'm not going to go there. Okay.
But, who was the last man in the chair?
Well, they had the guy from the Superman TV show who, and he's a Broadway actor all the time, and he plays the bad guy, Lex Luthor's dad.
No, well, he was big from,
Love, Ella, Compassion.
Right. John Glover. Yeah.
But okay, that's John Glover's leaving, and in the middle of October...
John Lovett should be the man in the chair.
He would be really cool. But they got another comedian in hand for you. A very good comedian.
I forgot who it is, because it was
a comedian
great.
Who everybody would have thought was really squeaky clean PG because of his television work. But once people saw The Aristocrats... Oh, come on, you've got to know it now. The Aristocrats... And heard him tell the joke.
The
now that would be something. I like to watch the musicals. There's something about that takes away the misery and gives me the thing with the ting. No, it's not. It's Bob Saget.
That's right.
He's coming in the middle of October. He's going to stay until February in The Drowsy Chaperone.
What's really good is that he'll be watching America's Funniest Videos, too.
Actually, not even. He's now on that game show called One Versus 100. So he's doing all right by himself. And anyway, so I wish him well. And I would like to see the show with Bob Saget. I think he'd be very...
I think he'd be fun.
Good. I don't know if they'll allow him to ad-lib. It's not really that much in the character. Certainly not the way he would ad-lib. But anyway, another major cast change coming along for one of the shows that you like best on Broadway, Hairspray, is going to get a new Edna Turnblad. That, of course, is the big, giant woman, fat man character.
Hey.
Originated. Wah! Fat! Pleasantly rotund and obese.
I want to play Edna. Don't you think I'd be a good Edna?
No offense, but I kind of do. You know what I'm saying. So, but they didn't always get really, really large people. Like,
hey,
don't forget
Tracy,
they had...
Hey, Tracy, look at me.
They had Michael McKean, who was, of course, speaking of Happy Days and Liver and Shirley, he was...
We weren't really talking about that on the air, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
we were
talking
about that off the air.
It occurred to me when I said it that we were doing trivia when the mics weren't on, but the they're getting... George Wendt. The
Are
Cheers
you
guy.
Kidding me?
I know. I've seen him act on stage. I'm iffy on this one. But who knows? Who
Boy,
knows?
He would be the last person.
Last? Well, that's a last.
One
I mean,
of the last
big.
People.
He's a big guy.
Although, I didn't think John Travolta was going to be very good.
In a movie, and you saw the movie, and he was.
I thought the movie was terrific.
Well, he had some big shoes and bras to fill. Harvey Fierstein originated it. Divine originated it on film,
Bruce
of course.
Bruce Lance.
Exactly. And then Michael McKean, a couple of other people. Canadian actor, comedian was in there. So now... Middle of October also, George Wendt goes into Hairspray until mid-January. So if you like the Cheers guy, and we'll call it Cheers Spray, I guess.
And everyone's going to go, Norm, ma.
hey, Norm, ma.
That was good.
Well, Edna, though, but yeah. Now, one more comedian, this is kind of a comedian thing today, is going to be back to New York in a show, and he's calling it his last one. But he's not coming to Broadway with it.
Jerry Seinfeld.
No.
Bob Newhart.
Add 50 years to Jerry Seinfeld.
Bob Newhart.
No. No, I would love to see Newhart on Broadway.
Wouldn't he be great?
Yeah.
Don Rickles.
No. I've seen Rickles in Vegas. He's not so great anymore.
Oh, I like Vegas.
I mean, I was kidding. Atlantic City, I saw him. But...
Add 50 years.
He's been, and he's also been back and forth to Broadway about 10 times.
Milton Berle's dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. This one you should get. It's not a hard thing to get. You should get
Jackie
it.
Jackie Mason's coming back.
Yes. You don't sound so thrilled about it.
Oh, Jackie Mason's
coming
back.
He is. From March until May of next year.
Is it going to be called You Can't Get Rid of Me?
I forget what the actual thing. It's the ultimate show. It's the last one. It's his one-man comedy tour de force, never the most modest man.
Tell you, he has one little hit. It was a pretty
big hit.
It was a big hit, but it was a good idea 10 years ago, and gosh darn it, he'll pound that thing to
the
death.
Well, he does. I mean, he's been accused of not changing enough material. He does. He changes a good 50 to 70% of the show. I've seen him probably 6 or 7 times by now over the years. And, you know, is it him being boring or is it us just knowing him so well?
Well, that's the problem. It's not that his material doesn't change, but his act doesn't change.
Well,
he reads the news and he comments on it and he talks like this.
Well, it's what
and
Mort
the first time you
does.
Heard him talking like this, you're going, oh my God, you have to hear this. This comedian who talks like this, and he tells some funny stories, and you get your friend, you bring it in, you both laugh, you go back, you see it a third time, a fourth time, and then you're kind of falling asleep.
Even though the jokes are different.
Yeah.
Let's say George Carlin came back every couple of years.
George Carlin is more classic than he is.
Okay. How would you say classic?
Well, the dirty words you can't say on radio.
Well, that was magnificent. But you know, Carlin also had years when he was almost unlistenable. He was just angry and cursing, and he wasn't really funny. And then he went through that, and he's
right.
Pretty funny again.
Well, you know, if you're funny, then we'll see you. If you're not funny, we'll see you later.
Well, would you want to see one last time Jackie? Because you can hear him on
Where's
radio.
Where's he going to be off Broadway?
He's going to be at New World Stages on West 50th. Nice, intimate.
Yeah, actually, that's a good place for
yeah.
him.
Yeah. So,
because it's a small enough audience that he can be, you know, he doesn't need, you know, he can't really fill a theater of over 1,000. And New World Stages is about 250, 2500.
Right. You should be able to, like that. And I would say, come on, it's the last
time. I think it'll be good. You know, oh, please.
Of course it'll be good. It's Jackie Mason.
His last time, just like Kiki and Herb. The farewell tour didn't really...
It better be the last...
it's not
Kiki
going to be, but he'll go, oh my God, I need some retirement money. I better do another show.
Well, he might not do it in New York. He might tour for another 5 years. So
well, he'll tour this for 5 years.
Yeah. So, but, good luck to Jackie Mason. You know, I like his politics for the most part. I like his humor. And
oh, I mean, God bless, he's a great human being. I don't mean to say you shouldn't see it. If you haven't seen him, he's definitely
worth
it. Oh,
never seen Jackie Mason. You better now.
And if you haven't seen him in a couple of years, probably a good idea.
Yeah, a good 5 or 6 years, yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things that I'm afraid I'll say, oh, I want to see it, and then I go, oh, why do I want to see that?
Well, maybe he's learned to cut his act from 2.5 hours to about 1 hour 50.
He's rather full of himself, though.
A little bit. He did the last one. Last one, he started to, maybe because he got older. He knows he doesn't have a
team. Well, because the one previous that he had a Broadway show that opened and closed the same night.
Oh, the...
Remember his big spectacular one?
Well, that was... Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah,
I forgot about that one. Ooh. Anyway, speaking of making fun of bombs, very few people in the whole wide world do that better than Gerard Alessandrini. He's the creator, the director, the brains, and the muscle behind Forbidden Broadway, which is now in its 25th anniversary season with they're calling their new show Rude Awakening, a little nod to Spring Awakening, of course. Was it, did it keep me awake, or was it just a lot of rudeness? I'll let you know right after this. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 61 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. When are shows opening and closing? What are they about? Who's in the cast? Designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, cabaret, and dance. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to PerformingArtsInsider.com. PerformingArtsInsider.com, a little bit of Verve music under there. We've got Verve
dramatic too.
Talking about Broadway here. We're full of Verve and vim and vigor because we have an off-Broadway show that I know you haven't seen this new version yet, Jeff, but you've seen Forbidden Broadway before, haven't you?
I love Forbidden Broadway. I'm telling you, I honestly wish they would take, because they do, I think they record all of them. And at one point there was a box set.
of some of the older versions.
Because
so every warning, 2 or 3 years.
I'm now warning you, my birthday's coming up. I want these box sets. I really wish they'd come out with, like, well, maybe for the 25th anniversary, they'll just have the whole box set of 25 of them.
Oh, I don't know if they've done every single year. They probably have maybe 8 of their shows done at this point.
Well, for anyone who's out there and wants to send me a birthday gift, I'd love the box set of...
Don't be winking at me. I can't afford it. I can't afford an 8 CD
set. I'm not winking at you for that.
What the hell are you winking at me for? We ain't going there, that's for sure. Anyway, the latest version of Forbidden Broad, I was there on opening night, and Cheetah Rivera was in the audience, which was kind of neat.
And you know what's good about Cheetah?
What?
She's not Rita.
Anybody who knows Forbidden Broadway knows that joke, because that's one of the classic Gerard Alessandrini spoofs of Broadway. What he does is he goes to all the shows and he makes fun of them. The good ones, the bad ones. He makes fun of the bad things in the good shows. He makes fun of the good things in the bad shows. The shows that are... tries to keep it fairly current. So it's kind of tough when you have a season like so many shows open last season and he makes fun of a few of them. They're already gone.
Well, you know what's always good?
What?
Annie will be 60 years old tomorrow.
No, but he had like a Coast of Utopia bit. That was kind of cute, but with Coast of Utopia gone, eh. And even the Grey Gardens thing, which was really well done. He had the woman come out in the Christine Ebersole kind of rap that Little Edie had and sing the da-da-da-da-da song based on this.
Yeah.
But it's gone, and it wasn't. But he's a wise director as well as...
What classic shows does he...
Well, I wanted to say that one of the things that he did, he knows how to end the first and the second act. So he takes a few chances here and there, but bam, first act closes with Les Mis, which is something of one of his classics of making fun, because Les Mis is back on
the turntable keeps the turning.
And they added a new song to it. So it isn't that he just sort of, okay, let's resurrect that whole 15-minute
bit. That's the one thing he does do, which is really nice. He rewrites a lot of songs. He reinvents itself.
And it's probably even funnier now than it... couldn't possibly be funnier now than it was the first time I saw it, because I was in stitches. But it's a marvelous piece, making, you know, people are, well, if I do this on the radio, it won't look good. If I do it on TV, it might. But because there's a turntable effect throughout Les Mis, everything's constantly turning. So
well, there
you've
is
got
a
the
big
singers going away from the mic and then coming back to the mic and trying to grab onto the mic so they don't get pulled off. I can't do it well, but they do it marvelously and beautifully. And then they close, you would love this, the second act with their whole Spring Awakening bit, and it's all about Totally Bleeped is the song that they have, because they're afraid that, sure, on Broadway you can say the words in that song, that it's the F word, it's used
Totally Bleeped.
They're totally, yeah, and problem is, what happens when they have to bring this show to places around the country that are not quite so, shall we say, New York-y liberal? So I think Peoria is going to understand it just as much as we do, and they don't need to bleep the language, but with theater owners and going down into the South and the breadbasket, who knows?
Do they still have the Avenue Q stuff in?
They didn't. Did they do an Avenue Q thing? I don't recall.
And the Wicked stuff is fantastic.
They did a fabulous Wicked piece. And they did... The theme of all this had to do... And the New York Times did on this in a review that was positive and yet a little bit wistful. And I think there were... I think... The Times could have appreciated the show a little more without getting so bogged into what the show itself was crying out for. Mm-hmm. And it was about, you know, what's happened to Broadway. Why are almost all the new shows geared towards teenage girls or the revivals?
They
were
just talking, you know, they were really talking about that on the news today.
Where?
About on WINS. They were talking about how teenage girls and the tweens are now the darlings of Broadway.
Well, the New York Times did a piece on that about a week ago, so that kind of brought the discussion up. And they were saying in the Times that, yes, of course, the success of Legally Blonde is really changing the dynamic, so they're pushing these shows. There's The Little Princesses is in the works. Mm-hmm. There's not The Little Prince. But
The Little Mermaid.
Well, Little Mermaid is coming in a week or two. They've got a show called 13 about either a boy at his bar mitzvah or a girl at her bat mitzvah. They've got another show. I mean, they're stacking them up. It's like sequelitis in Hollywood. Why? Because little girls bring their parents, and maybe their parents will like it, too.
They're also working on a musical version of Clueless, I think.
That's it. Clueless the musical, too. I don't even know who's working on it. They just mentioned it's in the pipeline. Why?
Because they said, have anything that stars 13-year-old girls?
Well, or about them, or will appeal to them. I mean, Wicked is a marvelous show. You know, that Wicked really started.
I heard kiddie porn in the musicals every day.
Wait, isn't James Barber starring in something already? Oh, okay. Not going to go there. So, Alessandrini has to tackle that, and he tackles it fairly relentlessly. Why? Because he's affected by it. Because instead of being able to satirize a new Sondheim show, or a Jerry Herman show, or a Flaherty and Aaron show, he's got to do the songs from Grease, and he has to do the songs from Jersey Boys. Now, people love Jersey Boys, and it's a really great book. But they're pop songs, you know.
Does he satirize the pop songs?
Yeah. Or he satirizes the show through the pop songs. But, you know, Sing Like a Girl, Sing Like... Okay, it isn't quite the same as when he goes and he satirizes the revival last season, although it's closed, of Company. And first of all, just hearing the piano playing Company, the Goosebumps, because you know the songs, and they're so emotionally connected to that Sondheim music. And then when he starts making fun of it, and making fun that the whole point of that revival was everybody was playing their own instruments and didn't play them very well sometimes. So they have accompanying themselves and they're blatting out trumpet things and it's all out of tune.
Well, you know, starting in the spring, they're going to be able to bring back one of his classics.
Oh, well, another one of his classics.
Into the Words.
No, not Into the Woods. That was a couple of years ago.
They're sorry, that's right. Oh,
the real masterpiece, Sunday in the Park with George.
Right.
I cannot wait. The first act of Sunday in the Park with George is one of the most magnificent
things. But the Alessandrini Sunday in the Park with George is also good.
Do you think? Yeah, I'm sure it is. That's what I want to see. That's what we all want to see more of. But what can he do? If Broadway is giving him things like Legally Blonde and Grease and Jersey Boys.
Well, what classics are come back in this?
I am trying to remember. He does not dwell a whole bunch, although sometimes he'll pull an old song to make fun of a new show. Like, he'll do that, especially with a play. I don't remember what he did with Coast of Utopia, but if he's doing that, he's got to reach into his grab bag from years ago.
I mean, I wish he would.
There was a Merman character, which was done very well. I should mention the cast. Jared Bradshaw, Janet Dickinson, James Donegan, Valerie Fagan. I don't know if they were the best cast ever.
What's amazing is that at first when they did it, it was five people. Now it's down to four people and one pianist. Usually five people and two pianists in the very beginning.
Hello.
But it's amazing that these four characters really bring off almost every show on Broadway.
Well, I mean, some of the alumni from these plays. Nancy Opel was an alumnus of that. Barbara Walsh, who was there at the audience.
Yeah.
One of the first times I ever saw her was for Ben Broadway. She was magnificent. And these guys are pretty darn good, too. So, do I recommend Forbidden Broadway? You bet you I do.
They have The Lion King? I love The Lion King.
The Lion King. That was one of the most hysterical things I've ever seen. They don't do The Lion King this time. But they do your Spring Awakening thing, and they do a bunch of other marvelous
things. Dying to see the Spring Awakening thing.
Yeah. Everybody, whether you've seen Forbidden Broadway or not, it's time to see Forbidden Broadway again. Rude Awakening at the 47th Street Theater. It's not on Broadway.
And it's a teeny, teeny, tiny theater.
Well, relatively small. It isn't a cabaret kind of dinner club like it had been for a bunch of years.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But it was all the way on the east side, which was a problem.
Yeah, it was a Theater East or something like that. Now, it's in the heart of everything.
It's 47th
nice
and 8th Avenue. It's beautiful.
You hear every word. Sometimes it's even a little bit too loud, but you hear everything. You're right up close. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, it's not Broadway, but it's inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Eat, eat, use, use, buy, buy. Look at me. I'm the American consumer, and I want to spend my money on stores, restaurants, showrooms, travel agencies, mail order catalogs. Sell me stuff. How do you reach me? Well, I listen to Dave's Gone By. So, if you advertise there, you'll certainly have my attention. Dave'sGoneBy.org has all the details, or email Dave'sGoneBy@AOL.com for the rate card. I'm listening. Sell me what you got. Autumn is such an exciting time for the Jews because we have so many wonderful holidays.
Rosh Hashanah, in which we welcome the Jewish New Year. Sukkot, the Harvest Festival. Simchas Torah, where we rejoice in receiving the five books of Moses. And Yom Kippur, where we starve and cry and smell each other's bad breath in the synagogue. But there's another Jewish holiday we may be forgetting, because no one's really sure if it is a Jewish holiday. I'm talking about Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus. Or, as the Italians would say, Cristoforo Colombo. Or, as the Spanish would say, Cristobal Colon. Which, if I were him, I would sue. Christopher Columbus. Or, as the Jews might say, Carl Cohen. You see, Columbus Day just might qualify as a Jewish holiday. And not only because all the stores have 20% off. It's a proven theory that Christopher Columbus might have been a Jew. A secret Jew, perhaps, but a Jew. Because his parents may have been forced to convert. Remember, these were the years of the Spanish Inquisition, which nobody expected because their chief weapon was surprise and fear. Fear and surprise were their chief weapons. So outwardly, Columbus was of the Christian faith. But there is ample evidence to suggest that under different political circumstances, the Spanish explorer and Italian legend would have instead founded the first kibbutz. He would have founded it in Greenland, but that's another story. So, forget the books and the textbooks you read about Columbus. Forget the poem that goes, in 1400 and blah de blue. I'm going to give you the real story. The true Columbus epic, via a little poem that I call Good Boy Columbus. In 1491, Spain told the Jews, get ready to run. You're going to get killed. You're going to get hurt. If you want to stay here, you got to convert. The Inquisition was in full blossom, so hundreds of Hebrews were playing possum. With guns to their heads and knives to their chest, they crossed themselves and hoped for the best. While martyrs' mothers cried and grieved, they made believe that they believed, accepting Christ and the title Converso. But underneath, Jews were Jews and vice versa. Because when you're at the mercy of a Torquemada, a life leading secret is better than nada. And yet, the government still feared conspiracy. They sent out tribunals to flush out heresy. They tortured and burned every man, girl, and boy who once was a Jew, but then turned to goy. The non-converted, though, under suspicion, were not so affected by the Inquisition. That is, until the following year, when Spain's true colors were made quite clear by King Ferdinand, a miserable fella, and his bitch of a wife, Queen Isabella. In 1492-ish, Spain expelled everyone who was Jewish. 150,000 left Spain and never touched a flan again. By the middle of the summer, all the Jews had vanished. They turned Portuguese, where they once were Spanish. And yet, the day after the Hebrews were gone, who should show up but Chris Colon? That's a Jewish variation on his real name, Colombo. And the clues that he's Jewish are many in number. First of all, the dates he chose are all biblical references used by Jews. Second of all, the day he left was the 9th of Av, on which Jews are bereft. You want more proof? Well, here it gets better. At the top of his mail, he'd write two little letters, the Hebrew letters Bet and Hey, with the help of God, is what they say. But some are not convinced by this. After all, how could a landsman be named Chris? Perhaps his parents were converted Marranos, putting borscht and chopped liver in their mole poblanos. I realize that's Mexico and not Mallorca, but what do you expect from me, Lorca? Anywho, Columbus the convert didn't get frantic. he asked for three ships to cross the Atlantic. Said Queen Isabella, from her place in the palace, "Go find the new world with Spain over Alice." And so he embarked in a fine Spanish galleon, which makes you wonder why Columbus Day is Italian. And what about all of Columbus's crew? Since they were expelled, they were likely Jews too. They sailed out of Lisbon singing Dienu on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Moishe Rabbeinu. In October, they landed on a place cold and windy. Said wrong way Columbus, "This must be the Indies." Naked savages came out to greet them. Columbus's crew thought the Indians would eat them. But Christopher said, "See the riches they've got? We'll make them love Jesus, whether they like it or not." For the country of Spain, he claimed the new world. And the Indians cried, because they knew it'd be spurled. For they were now slaves with Columbus the master. He founded a colony, a total disaster. So, after a while, Chris gathered new ships, and over the years, he made three more trips. He couldn't find India. He couldn't find China. He couldn't find hairs on a French girl's vagina. Nevertheless, Columbus made history by making the New World less of a mystery. In 1506, old Chris passed away. He was nearly forgotten, the history books say. But now we revere him for never quitting, despite omnipresent anti-Semitic. But he persevered through courage and prayer to discover America, which was already there. So, go shop at White Sales, watch the parade, or look at the mess of this country we've made. But kindly remember, be you left, right, or middle, that klutz with a compass was clearly a yiddle.
Read any good books lately? Well, you might as well try mine. It's called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, and it's available from Holbo Books. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World is a collection of my plays, most of them weird, zany, fun comedies, almost all of them produced on the stages of New York. So check them out at my website, davesgoneby.org, and have some great reading all year round. There was something, there's always something going on Dave's Gone By.
Neighborhood.
There went the neighborhood. Yeah, it's almost over. It's 12:01 a.m. Happy Columbus Day, everybody.
Ooh.
So before we get to anything else, let's get
Can we say a little Nina Pinta Santa Maria for Columbus?
Like
what?
What
was that poem?
Well, that was the whole thing. Columbus might have been
in
Jewish.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah, that's all I know of it. Yeah. He was looking for the East Indies, but I guess the seas were kind of windy. So,
instead, he founded Philadelphia and Indy.
Annapolis. Something like that. Yeah, okay. Off his chart, Columbus was thrown. Well, at least he was blown. I don't know what that means. Anyway.
Onto Queen Victoria's throne.
There you go. Victoria. No.
Queen Isabella.
Isabella's throne, yeah. Well, she gave him the ships. Pretty much, she just kicked all the Jews out of Spain, and he was one of them. And that's about the size of it.
The Inquisition.
What a show. So, what a show we've had, ladies and gentlemen, on Dave's Gone By, now on this October 8th, but we started on October 7th. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I'm here with my good friend Jeff Goodman. You're listening to WGBB Freeport, 1240 on your AM dial.
Ooh.
So let's thank our sponsors before we do anything else.
Okay.
Okay, which one do you want to start with, Jeff?
I always start with MortgagesRock.com because it's cool.
That's right, MortgagesRock.com. They're the place to go if you want a mortgage or a loan, or if you want to learn how to give your friends or family or neighbors loans that they need and get the commission. MortgagesRock.com.
Then for a little change of pace, we'll go to Performing Arts Insider.
That's right, the Bible of Broadway, the place to learn about everything we were talking about earlier on Inside Broadway.
And now it's only $99 a year.
No. It's $199 a year. Don't say these things unless you actually know them, Jeff. It's $199 for 21 issues. It's more than monthly. You get them almost every 2 weeks, all year long. Performing Arts Insider.
And, of course, if you're going to Lohmann's, look across the street and you will find...
Hewlett. Minuteman. Press, 1315 Broadway, to be exact.
The Happy Kings of Broadway.
And if you're a Dave's Gone By listener, you get 10%.
Maybe 25%.
No, you don't get any. You get 10% off.
$15,000, you might get 20%.
You might. If you want to spend that much, I'm sure they'll cut you a very nice deal, especially if you mention that you heard about Hewlett Minuteman Press on Dave's Gone By.
And mention me, Jeff.
And Jeff Goodman, too. And their phone number is 516-797-3229. No, that's
well,
your
that
phone number.
My phone number.
What's their phone number? 569...
Maybe they'll decorate your party, too.
569-5577. That's the number of Hewlett Minuteman Press. 569...
Now there goes another sponsor.
569-5577, area code 516 for Hewlett Minuteman Press. But that other number I just gave you is fine for Jeff Goodman's outfit.
Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. But there's not. No one's going to call.
No one's going to call anyway. But if you really, really want to do a nice job with your party, make it look really good, Jeff's the man to call. 516-797-3229. For Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
And
okay. Let's see what else we have to get to before we can talk about Jeff's
trip.
Should we
thank Joyce for just being Joyce?
Well, yeah. I mean, Joyce, my beloved wife, if you're listening, I love you. And
can I say hi to your father who's listening
yeah.
and your mom who's asleep?
Of course. And can we say hi to your aunt, someone?
Aunt Phyllis in Florida. My cousin Janice is still looking for a date.
She's looking for a man, ladies and gentlemen. Are you out there?
Janice is a hot little tamale.
Okay. I've never met her.
She's in California.
Okay. So any California listeners on the internet at am1240wgbb.com?
You can just call Fancy Schmancy Balloons. We'll set you up with Janice.
797-3229, area code 516. Okay. We've also got to do a little bit of extra business. I want to tell everybody that Michael Lydon from Mandel and Lydon, they were our guests on here a couple of months ago, he's going to be doing a free concert October 19th. With a band and a small horn section, so it's going to be cool at the Third Street.
I love when they have a small horn section.
I was born with a small horn section. But anyway, it's the Third Street Music School Settlement, 235 East 11th Street, just off 2nd Avenue in New York. And you know who his special guest is at the concert?
You.
The one and only Steve the Whistler Herbst. Steve was one of my first guests on this program 4 or 5 years ago. It's a concert with Michael Lydon and Steve Herbst. It just doesn't get better than that. October 19th at the Third Street Music School Settlement. Also, I want to remind people that starting previews this week is Spain, a new play by Jim Nabley, who's a member of the Randy Bandits, a band that were here about a year and a half ago. The play's going to be at Manhattan Class Company and run until the middle of November. So check out Jim Nabley's Spain. Okay, other reminders. You can hear a bunch of vintage Dave's Gone By episodes at theaterpod.com, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, pod.com. And don't forget to watch Dave's Gone By on TV every Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision of Woodbury, Channel 20. That's the basic Cablevision all around the South Shore and possibly the North Shore of Long Island. Channel 20 on Cablevision, Friday mornings at 7:30.
Don't forget to thank the rabbi. You might get a grace if you don't.
God bless. Thank you, the rabbi, for being a wonderful guest. You can watch his program, Shalom Dammit, Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on Channel 20.
And when is the Dave's Gone By Live on?
I just said that. Friday mornings at 7:30.
Oh, I was asleep.
Yeah, okay. So, remember, Wednesdays at 7:30 for the rabbi, Fridays for Dave's Gone By on TV. And watch for Jeff and Charlie Gross, happy birthday, Charlie, and me on YouTube on Two on the Isle.
Because we're basically on hiatus, we just found out.
Yeah, for a few more weeks until they crank up the new season on
Crank
Two
up
on the
that
Isle.
Season. I can't wait to see the Ritz.
And don't forget, by the way, that you can also watch Shalom Dammit episodes of that on YouTube anytime, the first four episodes. Just Google. No, it's not good. What do you call it? Tube.
YouTube.
Tube.
YouTube it.
Shalom Dammit. And you'll see the rabbi in all his glory. Okay. Want to mention also in the upcoming weeks on this program, there's so much business to do, but really cool guests.
Next week we'll talk about my trip.
Marilyn May, the singer, who has been on Johnny Carson, Carson was alive, who's been on The Tonight Show.
She's been on Johnny Carson?
Well, wow. Possibly. Well, she was on the show 70-some-odd times.
And then, may have been on Johnny Carson.
Uh-huh. And then someone who was on the show even more than she was, the one and only, I swear to gosh, we're going to have the amazing Kreskin on this program in 2 weeks.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to her.
So that should be fun. And hopefully we're trying to get, as a fellow we talked about on the show, Gerard Alessandrini, we're trying to line him up for some time in October as well. Now, in 2 minutes or less, Jeff.
Well, I can't say it in 2 minutes, but we will wait for next week. I'll bet you can wait till next week.
Ho-ho, about Jeff's trip to Vegas.
But I won't tell you about the whole trip. I'll explain to you about the tournament, which was fantastic.
Oh, good.
It's a great story for next week. So we'll talk about the tournament and my winnings in Vegas. For the first time in my life, I actually came home plus $400. Actually, plus $395.
Plus $395?
Yes.
So that almost, literally, your whole trip was...
Yeah, it was great. But I will tell you, the flight home was a little bit miserable. But it wasn't that miserable. What happened is I flew in my usual convoluted way. I do go for the mileage, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I flew from Vegas to Phoenix, Phoenix to... On my way there, I flew out of Islip. So Islip, you automatically go to Philadelphia.
Okay.
From Philadelphia, I went to Charlotte and Charlotte to Phoenix. On the way back, I said, let's mix it up a little bit. So I went from Vegas to Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
Phoenix to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to Islip. But I got there, now I got to my plane on time. I got on my Las Vegas Phoenix plane fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we had some mechanical difficulty.
Oh no. Okay.
So we had a little problem. So we didn't take off for a while. And they said, those of you with tight connection,
yeah,
meaning me, we will, don't worry, everything's going to be okay, basically.
Uh-huh.
So we landed in Phoenix approximately half an hour to 45 minutes late.
Oh, okay.
And we landed at gate A12. I had to go to B12, which is down the whole hallway,
uh-huh,
across, and then up the whole hallway. I'm not a good runner, as seen on The Price is Right.
Right, yeah.
So now, I ran to the gate, and there was no reason to run because I'd missed it by like 19 minutes.
Oh, so
my connection.
How could your connection be? If it was only half an hour late, how could your connection have been?
My
that
connection
tight?
Actually was half an hour.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's usually, you know, no problem because they're usually much quicker. They give you an hour and 5 minutes to do the 30-minute flight from Vegas to Phoenix. So it's not usually a problem. So I missed that flight, and then the woman at the gate tells me, oh, you better talk to customer service. Because, you know, first of all, they were supposed to meet me at the original gate to tell me. So I went to customer service. She says, oh, well, the next flight to Philadelphia is fully booked.
And you wonder why I make fun of you when you do these kinds of things.
I know, but it was fun. But wait, so it's a whole adventure. So I said, said, would you like to do the overnight in Phoenix? I said, as lovely as Phoenix is, which would be nice, but I really wanted to get home. So I said, is there any way I can get back to Philadelphia and lots of time on the typewriter and the computer? And all of a sudden she goes, oh, well, there is a way, but we'll have to fly you back to Las Vegas. So I flew back to Las Vegas, and she goes, oh, but you're going to have to ask the girl at Vegas to get you a better seat because I can only find middle seats. Maybe she could do something better. So I got to Vegas, and I told the woman about this, about the middle seat. Oh, and I had to spend the night in Philadelphia because I missed my connection to Iceland. So that's why it was...
Yeah, but that wasn't your fault. That was on the airline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, this was all on the airline.
Yeah.
So, but this one, I got to Philadelphia. I got to Las Vegas again. I did my round trip for no reason to Phoenix. And then the woman had the audacity to tell me, because I said, well, I got up there and I said, is there a chance that I can get an aisle seat or a window seat?
Right.
Because I'm a little bit wider than average, and I didn't want to bother more than one person. And the woman looked at me and she goes, you know, did you ever consider buying two seats?
Whoa.
I said, I would consider flying a new airline first. I said, you know, basically I told her to shut her mouth. I said, just to let you know that when I do fly, and this is the truth, I find my flights online. I always get myself a aisle or window seat. Mm-hmm. Usually, and I always try and be in a section of the plane that no one wants to be in. And also, a lot of times, US Air will upgrade me. But since I missed all my connections, right. There was no...
Yeah. I mean, no, she picked the wrong time to particularly
well, she, and
be...
She, well, because... And I told her, I said... And also, when I am in coach, which I haven't been recently because US Air has been gracious enough to upgrade me most of the time...
Mm-hmm.
I have told people when I'm in even an aisle or a window that if they're not happy with me there, I would take a bump on my own. They wouldn't have to give me anything. They wouldn't have to give me a hotel. I would bump myself off the plane if it really makes the person next to me uncomfortable. I always check.
Yeah.
Because it's not right, you know. But most people say, no, it's fine. Well, after I told her that, she was kind of, I hate to say, put in her place. But and I told her, I said, look, I fly you guys all the time. I fly, constantly am flying. And, well, wouldn't you know, just as we were boarding, Jeff Goodman come up to the front desk. Well, not only did a window seat pop open, but a window seat with an empty middle seat.
Ah, there you go.
So what's the chances of that?
Good for you.
It was magical.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Again.
And I had a lovely flight where I once again slept through they didn't have the October movies in, so I once again slept through Ocean's 13, I think it was. Now I've slept through Ocean's 13 three times on a plane.
Or Ocean's Deep. Well, you have to wait until November to fly again, and then you can sleep through some other movies.
No, but Ocean's 13 is a September movie. They didn't have...
I
wanted to see... It was Almighty, not the Bruce Almighty, the new one.
Oh, good heavens, no.
It was that... Yeah, I wanted to see that one.
All right.
With Steve Carell Almighty.
Well, but you would have slept through it, so...
No, maybe if it was interesting. You know, right. I tried to get into the... I got a little bit further into the Ocean's 11 and...
Ocean's 13, yeah. All right, wait. Jeff is coughing. I've got some kind of... Maybe, I think there's something in this place that has an allergen or something, because it's you know, affecting both of us. So I think that's a cue that we kind of got
to
get
out
here.
It's time to call it a night, Dave.
So we've got to finish our...
It's time for gospel music.
Gospel time. So we've got to end our 241st episode of
Dave's Two for One.
But we will be back next Sunday, October 14th, 2007...
With the
242nd episode. We'll be two for Sunday.
Two for two.
Yeah, no, because it's two for Tuesday was some kind of phrase, but it's two for Sunday.
No, we'll just be two for two.
Two for two. We'll be two for two next Sunday.
Which is going to be bad the next week, because then we'll be two for three.
And doesn't mean, yeah, then your average goes way down. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
This will be 100% next week.
That's right, two for two.
Two.
This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night.
And God.
Wait a minute. I do have a little extra thing, dude.
Well, I was... I
wasn't even doing the show that you know how we ended.
Well, last week, I forgot it.
Yeah, that was bad.
And I was all ready to do the right thing. And now of course...
I usually sneak in a little lie. You know
I
that.
Had a premature...
I don't even want to know. And this is Dave Lefkowitz. And
Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Goodbye, Columbus.
Day.
Oh, yeah. And?
Oh, I was waiting for the big end.
No, it was Goodbye Columbus.
Okay, let's do it again.
Okay. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
I'm wishing you good night.
Goodbye
Columbus.
See, now you blew it again.
Well, okay. This is Senor Wences.
And who is the... Topo Gigio.
Okay, you can be Topo Gigio. We're wishing you good night. Goodbye Columbus. Good luck.
And gone by.
Yay!
In America, you get food deep. Won't have to run through the jungle and scuff up your feet. You just sing about Jesus and drink wine all day. It's great to be an American. Ain't no lion or tiger, ain't no mama snake. Just a sweet watermelon in the buckwheat cake. Everybody is as happy as a man can be. Climb aboard, little walk, sail away with me. Sail away. Stay away. we will grow the mighty ocean that just can be. In America, every man is free to take care of his home and his family. There's a monkey in the monkey tree. You're all gonna be an American. Sail away. Sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean in the Charleston Bay. Sail away. Sail away. We will cross the mighty ocean in the Charleston Bay.